she looks at me and she goes, do you believe in God? And I was like, yeah, I do. I said, and she goes, I think he sent you to me today. She goes, you have no idea how much I needed to talk to somebody. Bring it on all day.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good after midday.
Good afternoon.
Good night.
Good evening. I hope you are doing well, regardless of whatever time of day it is. This is Improve This, powered by Lock and Ladder. I'm John Strand. We're going to talk about taking care of each other. I think this is critical. We need to be talking about this more, what it looks like to take care of each other, what it looks like in the workforce, what it looks like in our daily lives. It's something I'm still trying to improve upon daily, and I can say authoritatively with intention, this changes all of your interactions.
Good moron, as they say in Sweden. It's really fun. You get to call each other morons every day. Good moron. Good moron. Takes some getting used to, and then you miss it. Today, I want to talk about taking care of each other. Arguably, this will be one of the more important values that we have. And I want to talk about what is it? What does that actually mean? Because it's kind of a big phrase. What does that mean? Like teamwork, what a dumb core value to put on your company, right? And the reason I say it's dumb is no one knows what that means. It's vague, it's ambiguous. So when it's vague and ambiguous, you quickly tune out. You don't care. It loses all sorts of inspiration. And so I wanted it to be a little more defined. And I did steal this core value from my cousin's company. Take care of each other. What does that mean? Why is it important? And then I want to look at like when and why it breaks down. And I think we probably all have examples of when this breaks, when this value breaks down. Let's talk about why first. Why is this important and why should we take care of each other? I mean, really, you have to answer that question. Otherwise, it's just a nice idea. And if you don't believe in taking care of each other, if you can't answer why it's important to take care of each other, it won't happen. Really, I think it comes down to value. Do you value the person in front of you? What is value? Well, there's really several types of value. I did a Google search on what gives a person value, because now we can go into like, by the way, this meeting's going to last 4 hours, so get ready. No, but you could go on a deep philosophical journey, and like the pages that were coming up from Psychology Today and all these different sources that are trying to answer this question, what gives a person value? And there's a lot of differing opinions on that. I think there's several types of value. I think this is my sort of creation, but I think there's earned value and then there's inherent value. And so today we're really going to be focused on inherent value. So earned value would be you develop a skill, you work really hard, you practice, and you become a great snow skier, and now you're valuable in competition. And then if you do really well in competition, now you're even more valuable because you can get endorsement deals. And so you actually get paid. Or as a salesperson, you develop your sales skill, you develop your communication skill, you develop your closing skill. And now because you're bringing so much value to a company, you get compensated. So the merit and most dictionary definitions, that's what they focus on when they define value. Webster's has it as a noun. The first definition, relative worth, merit, or importance. And you have to get all the way to, they have 17 definitions for value. And you have to get all the way down to number 8 before they start talking about significance, import or meaning, force or significance is how they define it. So what is the value of a person, or what is the value of a word or a sentence? I think we really need to examine, like, how do we look at other people? How do you look at them? How do you treat them? Most of the world treats them in terms of that sort of earned, quote unquote, value. I saw this very clear, like it plays out really badly if that's the only way you look at people. If you only look at them for their value, like what can they bring to me? Like I see this with salespeople. They only look at homeowners as a means to a paycheck. They're valuing that homeowner only as far as they can get something from that homeowner. I would argue your heart towards other people will directly affect how you treat them. And what we're starting to dive into, and I really don't want to get too philosophical here, but what we're talking about is love and humility. And if you believe people have inherent value, you kind of have to answer the question, well, why do they have inherent value? Are they worthy? Period. Not because. For me, the answer is I believe there's this love, this force of love that is in the universe, and if you want to call it God or the universe, or for me, intellectually, I have an easier time saying God, that assigns that. And we, as humans, as people, have inherent value, period. And I think it's because of that love. So because of that, I think there's a sort of reason to look at somebody and go, no, you matter, period. I accept you. You have worth, period. And I think it's really important as a company we start from that place. So apologies, but I'm going to give you a Bible verse. And what's funny about this verse is you don't see the church behave this way very often. This is why people don't appreciate the church. I mean, listen to this verse. This is Philippians 2:3. Do not try to prove you are better than others. Do not be proud of yourselves, but be humble. Think of other people as being better than yourselves. Here's another, a different version. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And I love this last line. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Well, there you go. Like, now we're getting somewhere. Take care of each other. What does that mean? Look for the interests of others as well as your own. We want to build a community here that takes care of each other. We take good care of each other. There's a lot of ways that that plays out. So one, when you start to look at somebody, not through the lens of what can they add to me or what is their earned value or like they're important just because, well, now your interaction with the gas station attendant changes. Because you can be a little more present. You can inject some positivity into their day. Try it. Try it the next time someone hands you a coffee and look at them and give them a sincere thanks like they're one of the most important people in the world. Watch the dynamic shift. It'll change your business interactions. That person just doesn't feel like you're trying to just get something from them. It'll change your experience with homeowners for sure. Taking care of each other is not approaching people with an agenda all the time. Now, we can be smart in business and foster relationships, but I want to look at, like, what can I add to you here? Again, considering the interests of others. This week, you know, we had our install at the Rafts neighborhood, and I wanted to hit some doors to let people know, you know, we're around, see what kind of business we generate from that. Plus, I do like the concept of letting people know, hey, we want to manage this job site well, and if you need anything, here you have a cell phone number now. You know, if you needed something quickly, like move a truck out of the way or something. Anyway, I knock a door, and this dad and this daughter, she's 34, and the dad's on the phone, and he's like just annoyed that I'm there. And you know, I told the daughters, like, hey, I'm not like out here soliciting. We're doing a job right down the street, and I want to make sure people know. And she's like, no, you're fine. She steps out. We get talking. She says, sorry, it's just been kind of a weird week. And, you know, so he's not in a great mood right now. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And it was just something about, again, not approaching her with this big agenda. Like, yeah, I want to get our company name out there, but it's more important just to, I also want to build relationships with people. And something about it, she opens up. She's like, yeah, my mom died 7 days ago. It's just like, whoa. And so I think the natural reaction is probably like, get out of there. And instead, I just stopped what I was doing and just, I looked at her. I was like, I am so sorry to hear that. And you could tell there was just this, we're both being present for each other now. And I asked her, I said, what happened? And we talked about cancer, and I shared with her that my mom passed, and I was able to say specific things to her, not the platitudes, because people say the dumbest things to you when a loved one dies. And I told her, I said, you know, you're going through it right now. I remember when I got home from my mom passing away and I was going through her stuff and like held her toothbrush and it just hit me so hard. Just all came crashing down. I told her that and I said, the only advice I'm gonna give you is when it comes to grief, whatever it needs to look like is fine. So if it means you need to feel nothing and be numb for a week, that's fine. Don't beat yourself up about that. I said, if it means you need to go to the movies and laugh, you're allowed to laugh. And I said, and if it means you need to hit the floor and weep, I said, all of that's okay. And it's gonna be a long, long process. And I start crying and she starts crying. The dad opens the door like he's because he doesn't know what's going on and he's pissed that I'm bothering them. And he looks at both of us and does like a 1-2. We're both tears arise and closes the door slowly. And she goes, she looks at me and she goes, do you believe in God? And I was like, yeah, I do. I said, and she goes, I think he sent you to me today. She goes, you have no idea how much I needed to talk to somebody. She goes, I think my mom's looking out like this is her. I start crying more. We're both just like, oh. She's like, can I give you a hug? So here I'm hugging this stranger. And it was a really beautiful interaction. And I'm telling you, I don't know. There's definitely a point in my life where that just would have never happened. But that ability to be a little extra present, something I'm still trying to improve on, something I'm trying to improve on with my kiddos, with the team. My mind will race and get going and have a million things. This would happen to me on market visits. It'd just be so easy to want to just be quick with people. And there is a time limitation sometimes, but if we take care of each other, it starts with being present. It starts with valuing them as better than ourselves, and it really changes the dynamic. That's the important part. Let's talk about when it falls apart, when we lose the humility, it falls apart. When we get tired, frustrated, start losing patience, when things don't go right, things are not going well, it's easy to start just biting off heads. And 2 weeks ago, the business cards come in screwed up, and we spent how long designing and proofing and checking? And I saw the cards, so full disclosure, I saw them, and I was like, damn it. And I was annoyed, and I was gonna fire off a quick text. And so I'm like, no, this probably wasn't even Adam's fault. Plus, it's a business card. So I went through this process and I thought to myself, the way I make Adam feel right now is way more important than whoever's mistake this was. 10 minutes later, I was like, I need to make sure Adam knows it's cool. We're good. And also that he's kind to the people that screwed it up. I said, hey, make sure you're nice to these people. Kindness and grace are a really good example of taking care of somebody, taking care of each other. When things aren't going right, you can call them on it for sure all day long. I mean, we're gonna have them do new cards for us. Kindness and grace. I Googled teamwork problems and literally the whole first page, I think I clicked on all of them and they all say the same things. So you get lack of trust. This is what causes problems in teams, in organizations. Lack of trust. Conflict and tension, the inability to communicate through it. Good resolution. Not sharing information with each other. There's your lack, scarcity mindset. Ooh, I'm not gonna tell that sales guy what I'm doing because that's sales out of my pocket. Not sharing information, or I'm not gonna share with them because then they'll look good and I won't look good. All this nonsense. Low engagement from the team. You get people that are checked out. They're not engaged. They're not participating. Lack of transparency. There's no long-term thinking. Poor communication really screws things up. Role confusion, people don't know which lane they're supposed to be in. You see this especially on bigger organizations. I love that this was on one of the lists. Lack of tackling poor performance. So you don't actually set performance standards or you don't tackle it when someone's underperforming the right way. Lack of recognition, lack of appreciation. These are common teamwork problems, and I guarantee all the companies struggling with this probably have a teamwork poster somewhere in their office. You know, the skydiving one from... And man, you know, we could sit here and just tell story after story of like when when it goes bad, when people aren't taking care of each other, and it causes major company issues. You know, it takes away. I mean, if we want to talk about why this is important, it takes away fulfillment from the job. Our company's going to take care of each other, and let's look at specifics on what that looks like. So in sales, and I'm going to write this out in one of our iBooks. Like this is law. Here's my standard on training. We will train until they have all the tools necessary to succeed. There's ongoing development and there's mentoring. And we'll probably all be engaged on that process. Real simple, do they have all the tools necessary to succeed? And then I'm gonna sleep really good at night when we fire somebody because we know we gave them everything we had and they were not the right fit for the company or they didn't put in the time. But if they're on this team, we have to take care of them. We have to make sure that these salespeople have all the tools necessary to succeed. In our sales environment, there's gonna be encouragement and recognition. Has to. And I've told you this, I'm like a golden retriever. For me personally, if you want to motivate me, it's less about the money. Just pat me on the head. Tell me I did a good job. I'll wag my tail and be like, you think that was good? Wait till the next one. I'll fetch it even faster. That encouragement is important. That recognition is important. And we need to voice it. If you think it, voice it. Say it. I am loving working with Jonathan. I told him this last week. It's a dream. Like I just can't even speak highly enough about his attitude, his efforts. It's just like exactly who you want to be working with. His care for the customer, his knowledge, his care for the installers. He's doing everything it takes. I don't even have to ask him. It's wonderful. And that deserves to be acknowledged. So I told him, I thought this, and then I was like, God, I had thought it for 2 days. I was like, I need to tell this guy. You've already exceeded all of my expectations. You should know that. The team should know that. I'm loving working with Adam. He is growing. He's improving. He's doing everything I ask him to do. He's got such a great attitude about it. I'm excited to see where all this goes because I think we're just scratching the surface on your growth. So, encouragement and recognition. By the way, from a teamwork standpoint, last week, Gorgie's out there every day with the drone. He's on the job site. It's not his job site. He's wanting to contribute. It's fantastic. With homeowners, we're still on sales here. We need to focus on wowing the customers. I want their experience to be, I want this to show up. Don't ask for it. Just I want it to organically show up on a Google review. They took great care of me. We definitely did that last week. And see, the sales guys miss this. I've screwed this up in the past. Our salespeople, this is non-negotiable. They have to pride themselves on the level of care that they take with these homeowners. You better put yourself in their shoes. Just pull everything back. It's the right thing to do. It's the right way to be. It's the right way to live. Think of other people as better than yourselves. And think of their interests. And it just feels good. I'm telling you, here's the other big reason why this is important. You will find more fulfillment in the work. You will feel better about what you do. And that's really nice. From a management standpoint, we're gonna speak with kindness. I have screwed that one up. And boy, do I wish I understood the importance of operating from kindness. No politics. I'm not doing that. Nope. Want no part of it, don't care. We're not gonna be that shallow. We're gonna take care of the next person, and guess what? We have a culture where you can do really well and not be scared about this person doing really well and outperform it. It's like we're building something special together, so you want that person to do well. You want to help that person. And have really good communication. In fact, we're gonna work on our communication skills so that when we're angry, we don't screw it up. When we're panicked and tight for time, we don't screw it up. We're gonna keep building relationships, keep taking care of each other. from an installation standpoint, we're going to take good care of our install teams. We're going to make sure that they feel valued, that they feel loved. I mean, dude, they were blown away. I'm carrying a bundle of shingles up the ladder. And Louise looks at me like, what? Like, I mean, there was shock in his eyes. Like, who is this guy? And I could tell Miguel when we were cleaning. At first, I think they thought we were just doing some for the filming. And then I just kept working for an hour. And he comes up, he's like, it's hard work, isn't it? And I was like, oh, yeah. So I'm getting my workout in today, but we're with you. Not that we're going to spend hours on every job site, but we're going to take care of the team. We're going to let them know that they're sometimes taking care of each other is letting them know that we value them. And guess what? Something's going to go wrong, and this is when it's important. They're going to not do it the right way. I mean, there's always room for human error. There's just too many moving parts, right? So how do we respond? How do we treat people when it goes wrong? And contractors are notorious for screaming at the crew. We will never be that way. You treat people with respect, kindness, talk through it, communicate with the homeowner. If you have really good communication skills, same thing on conflict. Communicate through the conflict. You will have more fulfillment. You will get more jobs. You will make more money. You will be the reason somebody grew instead of shrunk. It's just this snowball effect. And we're going to take good care of each other.
I encourage you to think about what it's going to look like for you. What's it look like to take good care of each other, take care of the people in front of you, your family, your friends, your fellow workers. We'll see you here next Monday. Until then, be encouraged, be well, be inspired as we improve this together.
Bring it on all day.